जय गिरे वर धारे, जय गिरे वर धारे, जय यशोदानन्दना, जय ब्रज जन रंजन, जय ब्रज जन रंजन, जय यशोदानन्दना, जय ब्रज जन रंजन, जय ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर बनचारी, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय यमुना तीर बनचारी, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज विचार अष्टोदरक्षि श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की, इस्कॉन विप्र संस्थापक आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज विचार अष्टोदरक्षि श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की, श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की, ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की, गंगा माई जमुना माई की, भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की, कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की, हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की, श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की, గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం మహాపురాణకి నితాయ గౌర్ ప్రేమానందే. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబుల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబుల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబుల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురోన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. నమ ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతిదేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభూ నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం చాప్టర్ 1, క్వశ్చన్స్ బై ద సేజెస్, టెక్స్ట్ 1. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. జన్మ ఆది అస్య యతో అన్య అన్వ యాద్ ఇతరతస్ చ అర్థేషు అభిజ్ఞ స్వరాట్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదా య ఆదికవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయః తేజో వారి మృదాం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో అమృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరతస్ చార్థేష్వభిజ్ఞ స్వరాట్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయాది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయః తేజో వారి మృదాం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరతస్ చార్థేష్వభిజ్ఞ స్వరాట్ तेने ब्रह्म हृदयादि कवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरय तेजो वारि मृदाम यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरा तेने ब्रह्म हृदयादि कवये मुह्यन्ते यत्सूरयः तेजो वारि मृदाम यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि Mataji's.
Jai Mataji.
Pitamaha, offering my obeisances Bhagavate unto the personality of Godhead, Vasudevaya unto Vasudev, the son of Vasudev, or Lord Krishna, the primeval Lord, Janmadi, creation, sustenance and destruction, Asya, of the manifested universes, Yataha, from whom, Anvayat, directly, Itarata, indirectly, Cha, and Artheshu, purposes, Abhigya, fully cognizant, Swarat, fully independent, Tene, imparted, Brahma, the Vedic knowledge, Prada, consciousness of the heart, Yaha, one who, Adikavaye, unto the original created being, Muhyanti, are illusioned, Yat, about whom, Surayaha, great sages and demigods, Tejaha, fire, Vari, water, Mridam, earth, Yatha, as much as, Vinimayaha, action and reaction, Yatra, whereupon, Trisarga, three modes of creation, creative facilities, creative faculties. Pehle ka sound theek tha? Sound change kya kya? Pehle ka theek tha? Amrisha, almost factual. Dhamna, along with all transcendental paraphernalia, Svena, self-sufficiently, Sada, always, Nirasta, negation by absence, Kuhakam, illusion, Satyam, truth, Param, absolute, Dhimahi, I do meditate upon. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Krishna because He is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and He is independent because there is no other cause beyond Him. It is He only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By Him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of Him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon Him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon Him, for He is the absolute truth. Purport, continuing from page 46. Unscrupulous persons go immediately to the 10th canto and especially to the 5 chapters which describe the Lord's rasa dance. This portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the most confidential part of this great literature. Unless one is thoroughly accomplished in the transcendental knowledge of the Lord, one is sure to misunderstand the Lord's worshipable transcendental pastimes called the Rasa Dance and his love affairs with the gopis. This subject matter is highly spiritual, and only the liberated persons who have gradually attained to the stage of Paramahamsa can transcendentally relish this Rasa Dance. Srila Vyasadeva therefore gives the reader the chance to gradually develop spiritual realization before actually relishing the essence of the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, he purposely invokes a Gayatri Mantra, Dhimahi. This Gayatri Mantra is meant for spiritually advanced people. When one is successful in chanting the Gayatri Mantra, he can enter into the transcendental position of the Lord. One must therefore acquire Brahmanical qualities or be perfectly situated in the quality of goodness in order to chant the Gayatri Mantra successfully and then attain to the stage of transcendently realizing the Lord, his name, his fame, his qualities, and so on. Srimad Bhagavatam is the narration of the Swarupa of the Lord manifested by his internal potency, and this potency is distinguished from the external potency which has manifested the cosmic world, which is within our experience. Srila Vyasadeva makes a clear distinction between the two in this shloka. Sri Vyasadeva says herein that the manifested internal potency is real, whereas the external manifested energy in the form of material existence is only temporary and illusory, like the mirage in the desert. In the desert mirage, there is no actual water. There is only appearance of water. Real water is somewhere else. The manifested cosmic creation appears as reality, but reality of which this is but a shadow is in the spiritual world. Absolute truth is in the spiritual sky, not the material sky. In the material sky, everything is relative truth. That is to say, one truth depends on something else. This cosmic creation results from interaction of the three modes of nature, and the temporary manifestations are so created as to present an illusion of reality in the bewildered mind of the conditioned soul, who appears in so many species of life, including the higher demigods like Brahma, Indra, Chandra, and so on. In actuality, there is no reality in the manifested world. There appears to be reality, however, because of the true reality which exists in the spiritual world, where the personality of Godhead eternally exists with his transcendental paraphernalia. So this first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam begins by invoking the glories of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And in this section of the purport, Srila Prabhupada specifically mentions the danger of jumping directly into the 10th canto without understanding the absolute nature of the Supreme Lord. So, in today's discussion, we will try to discuss a few points from the 10th canto specifically. At the very beginning of the 10th canto, actually starting from the end of the 9th canto, the purpose of Krishna's pastimes is established. After the 9 cantos are over, and after Krishna's Bhagavata is established through various pastimes, through his various incarnations, still Shukadeva Goswami feels it prudent that the purpose behind Krishna's appearance must be strongly established. So therefore, the first point which we will discuss is that the purpose of Krishna's advent and pastimes is to leave behind the treasure house of nectarian pastimes, which is katha, to counteract the fatigue of material existence. So material existence is accepted as a place which creates fatigue. Kalau janishyamana nam dukkha shoka tamonudam. In Kali Yuga, people are absorbed in dukkha and shoka. anugrahaya bhaktanam supunyam yatanottanam. In order to give mercy to the people, anugrahaya, to show compassion to the devotees, supunyam vyatanotattanum, he expands his pastimes, which are described as extremely pious, supunyam, for the pious and that which expands one's piety. Punya shravana kirtana. So just like material piety arises by performing various kinds of activities which are defined as pious in the modes of goodness, spiritual piety is acquired by engaging and absorbing in hearing and chanting punya shravana kirtana. So therefore that is the foundation for creating spiritual piety, and that is the foundation for any of our spiritual desires to be fructified and fulfilled. And that is why bhakti is distinguished from karma, because karma is achievement oriented, jnana is knowledge oriented, yoga is perfection oriented, whereas bhakti is dependence oriented. So if Krishna does not see that one is not sufficiently inclined to spend doing nothing except hear and chant, then he is under doubt whether you are really dependent or you are making a pretense of dependence, being within the school of bhakti but having the consciousness of karma. And therefore punya shravana kirtana anugrahaya bhaktanam supunyam vyatanottanam yasmin satkarna piyushe yashastirthamare asakrit. Yasmin satkarna piyushe, when this katha enters through the ears of the devotees, what happens? Yashas, the glories of Krishna's pastimes are described to be tirtha vare. Tirtha basically means holy place. Tirtha also means a bridge. Bridge which connects the material world to the spiritual world. So we are in the material world, but how do we go to the spiritual world? You need a bridge. So therefore the best bridge, tirtha vare, the best bridge to go from the material to the spiritual is asakrit, continuously hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna through the ears. Shrotanjalibhir upasprishya, when with our ears, which are considered to be like palms, shrota anjalibhir upasprishya, when that katha comes in contact with the ears, dhunute karma vasanam, it purifies our tendency to take credit for our achievements and for our activities and being completely helplessly dependent on the Lord. Because especially in the 10th canto, we see the pastimes of Brajavasis being glorious, not because they have abilities, but because they have the attitude of helpless dependence right from the time of Krishna's birth. It is not Vasudev's some martial skills which brings Krishna down. It is not his diplomacy. It is not his kshatriya prowess. So therefore, dhunute karma vasanam. And so Krishna appears in his beautiful form as snigdha smitavatodarair vakyair vikrama lilaya. So Krishna comes in his beautiful form, which is snigdha smita. He has a smile which is very sweet. Ikshita udaraihi, he has a glance which is very compassionate. Krishna is not searching for faults. Krishna is not searching to fail. He is searching, how do I pass? How do I deliver? And therefore, smita ikshita udaraihi. So his glance, his vision is very compassionate by nature. And vakyair vikrama lilaya. And his words are very compassionate, filled with compassion to deliver. And his activities, actions are full of valor, Vikramalilaya. And therefore, when Krishna comes and presents his beautiful form to people of this world, Nrilokam Ramyayam Asa, this beautiful form of Krishna is very pleasing to people of this world, because Krishna also appears just to be like humans. Right? And therefore, when Krishna appears, he appears in a form which appears to be human-like, but it is not human. Nrilokam Ramyayam Asa Murtya Sarvanga Ramyaya. And Krishna's all the beautiful limbs are extremely pleasing. And one can become enchanted and attracted by any of the limbs of Krishna. Krishnera jateka khila sarvottama naralila narabapu jahara swarupa. Amongst all the different forms, Krishna's form, when he appears as Brajendra Nandan, is the most attractive, most beautiful. Athanya tapi krishnasya toka charitam adbhutam manusham lokam asadya tat jatim anurundhata. When Krishna appears, Parikshit Maharaj is eager to hear about his childhood pastimes, because one can connect with Krishna in that form, because majority of the people in this world, in the human form of life, are in families. And when Krishna is performing those pastimes with his family members, people can relate with it. Therefore, amongst the different incarnations and avatars, the whole idea is to attract our attention towards Krishna's pastimes in Braj, in Vrindavan. And therefore, kathito vamsha vistaro bhavata soma surya yoho. Yes, he has performed various pastimes, and description of the Soma dynasty, of the Surya dynasty, has completed. Now, the Soma dynasty description begins. Ragyam chobhaya vamshanam charitam param adbhutam. Please describe the beautiful pastimes, and ragyam cha ubhaya vamshanam, Shukadev Goswami says, I am now going to be describing those pastimes which Krishna performed in these pastimes in the Soma Vamsha. Abhatirna yador vamshe bhavatam bhuta bhavana. So Krishna is one who maintains all the living entities. He is bhuta bhavana. That personality who is bhuta bhavana, who maintains, whose energy, right from the insect to the elephant, they find their nourishment. He gets nourished by the milk of Yashoda Mai. One on whom everyone is dependent, he shows his utter dependence on his devotees. Nemam birincho na bhavo na shrir api anga samshraya. Prasade le bhire gopi yattat prapya vimuktidat. Krishna therefore glorified Yashoda Mai and his dependence on Yashoda Mai as an example that this is the ornament in bhakti. How the Brajavasis are dependent on me, how I am dependent on the Brajavasis. And so, these pastimes of the 10th canto are therefore considered to be the essence of all the other cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to attract our attention towards Krishna's pastimes. Nivritta tarashair upagiyamana bhavaushadat shrotra manobhiramat. So if someone is a very advanced devotee, he finds these pastimes to be nectarian. For those who are sadhakas, this acts like medicinal. And for those who are materialistic people, they find these pastimes very entertaining. So there is something for someone in the entire gamut of Krishna Leela. Bhajane ramadhye sreshtha nabavida bhakti Krishna prema Krishna dite dhore mahashakti. When Mahaprabhu is speaking to Sanatan Goswami in the Antya Leela in Jagannath Puri,
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that amongst all kinds of bhajan, Navavidha Bhakti is the most powerful. Tara Madhye Sarva Sreshtha Nama Sankirtan Niraparadhe Nama Paile Pai Premadhan. Out of this Navavidha Bhakti, to chant the holy names of Krishna without offense is the most powerful of all. Dhare Mahashakti. And therefore, Niraparadhe Namalaile Pai Premadhan. To chant these holy names without offense is one of the most powerful, potent means of attracting Krishna. So apart from Nama, the second principle is Katha. So in Antalila we have Pradyumna Mishra who goes to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says, I want to hear Katha from you. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to make a point that the purpose of Shravanam and Kirtanam is to become attracted and become attached to the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam and not to the person who is actually engaged in that Shravanam and Kirtanam. If one becomes attached, that is no problem, but not at the cost of being attached to the process itself. And therefore, who better to hear from the Katha than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri? He is the crest jewel of all the great powerful devotees who are assembled there. He is the Supreme Lord Himself. So naturally, Pradyumna Mishra wants to hear from the best. And he says, I want to hear from you. And Mahaprabhu tells him, Bhagyer tomar Krishna Katha Shunite hoe mana. You are very fortunate because in your mind a desire to hear Krishna Katha has arisen, and therefore I recommend that you should go to Ramananda Pasha Jai Karaha Shravan. Go to Ramananda Rai and hear this Katha from him. Why? Because Krishna Kathai Ruchitomar Bada Bhagyaman. Since there is a desire to hear Krishna Katha in your heart, anyone who gets a desire to hear Krishna Katha is very fortunate. Bada Bhagyavan. And Jara Krishna Katha Ruchi Sei Bhagyavan. And therefore, this is real fortune. Getting a taste, a desire, a greed to hear Krishna's pastime. So the mind has a propensity for committing vice, and the soul has the propensity for virtue. And there is a constant battle going on how to engage the soul in its nourishment and stop the mind from its advertising tricks. So therefore, the deepest longing of the heart is not the absence of agitation, but the presence of absorption in these pastimes of the Lord. So therefore, here, the first qualification for Krishna Bhakti is defined very clearly, which is eagerness to hear. And so right from the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam has been glorified as the Lord who has appeared in a form which can be very easily accessed just by keeping the ears open. And we don't have to make any effort because ears by design are open. So therefore, here it is said, this is the first qualification. So, spiritual experience consists of three things. First is selfless sacrifice. Second is there has to be exceptional effort. And when we find Mother Yashoda trying to bind Krishna, this principle is highlighted. So matu svinnagatrai visrishta kabrasri drishtva parishramam. Parishramam means, shram means effort. Pari word means 360 degree. Parikrama, you go around the temple. It is parikrama. Right? So you go around. So parishram means that when one effort fails, you begin another effort. When that fails, you begin another effort. That means there is a continuous, seamless integrated, harmonious series of efforts which flows just like honey without a break. That means by chanting one round of Maha Mantra, when one cannot focus one's mind, go to the next round. When still the mind doesn't focus, go to the third round, go to the fourth round, and go to the 16th round. When still the mind doesn't focus, go to the next first round next day. And then continue on. And then you may think, okay, this process will end in a few years. Shaknoti hai vayasodum prak sharira vimokshanat. Till the time of death, one has to continuously make this effort. So therefore, apart from selfless sacrifice, one needs exceptional effort. And third is, the spiritual experience will only manifest when one has willingness to take risk. So the willingness to take risk is the third element, which basically means bhakti begins when you are willing to go out of your comfort zone. And so in the Vrindavan pastimes, we see the Brajavasis exemplifying these three principles. That they are willing to perform sacrifice, they are willing to put in exceptional effort, and willingness to take risk. So therefore, what stops us from having this spiritual experience is the fear. The fear of popular opinion, the fear of having doubts in our own abilities and things like this. And so we need three things to support our journey. First, we need the philosophy. Second, we need the people around us who support us in this journey. And third is, we need practice of this process on a regular basis, because we are not going to experience transformation overnight. And so this means that we need to create an internal mindset to overcome these challenges. And the internal mindset is defined by Srila Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita, which is the nectar of instruction, N-O-I, meant for those who are struggling with neglectful, offensive and inattentive practice of devotional service. Right? And therefore, one of the principles he mentions, Utsahan Nishchayat Dhairyat. So when you have Utsaha minus Dhairya, then it cannot sustain, because one will be unsteady and erratic. If you have Dhairya, and only dhairya, and no utsaha, then there is tendency towards laziness and lethargy. Okay, let us chant 16 rounds every Ekadashi. Oh, today is Ekadashi. Oh, good day to chant. So therefore, if you have to have utsaha and dhairya, both, one needs nishchayat. So nishchayat is the cement which binds utsaha and dhairya. You need binder. Without the binder, even the toughest item will just fall off. It will be flaky. And so, in the journey towards determined practice, first step, the mind will say, I won't do it. That's how the ego will respond. I won't do it. Then the second step, you start thinking, no, I won't do it. No, I will do it. But I can't do it. It's not that I won't do it, but I can't do it. Then, you know, again, others start encouraging you. And then step three, after that encouragement in the association, a spark comes. And that is, I want to do it. And that's where, you know, when Vibhishan comes in front of Lord Ram, that's what he says, that Nivedayat mam kshipram vibhishanam upasthitam. I have come in front of you. Quickly accept me, kshipram. Raghavaya mahatmane. O Raghav, O Mahatma, sarvaloka sharanyaya, one who gives shelter to the entire universe. Nivedayat, please accept my plea, kshipram, quickly. Because that spark is there. I don't know how long that spark will continue. Before it gets extinguished, accept me. Therefore, I want to do it. As soon as that desire comes, as soon as the desire comes to you, today I should chant 32 rounds. Do it that day only. Don't think I will wait for Bhim Nirjal Ekadashi. As soon as the desire comes for doing anything more in bhakti, do it immediately. If desire for doing sense gratification comes, then postpone it. So I want to do it. Then step 4 is then the mind starts thinking, but how can I do it? We have just begun Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first verse, fourth paragraph. 12 cantos, whole cupboard is filled, such a huge volume. How can I do it? The question arises, especially about studying the books of Prabhupada, right? I've got a 10-hour job, and I've got this and that. If somehow 16 rounds is over, that I consider to be pure bhakti. So, how can I study and how can I hear and this and that? So, that is a good question which comes in the mind. And then, you'll see grihasthas like you, who are fully engaged in a job with family and many children, they are also able to spend time studying the books, hearing and chanting and doing nice sadhana. When you see that, first you say, no, this is only possible for these brahmacharis who have a lot of time at their disposal. Dusra kuch kaam hi nahi hai. Padho aur kya? But then when you see that, then desire comes. I'll try to do it. That is the next step. When you see that, if they are able to do, they are able to do, maybe I should also try. And so, when you try a little bit, and then you taste some reciprocation, then you get conviction. I can do it. So, when you come to the stage of I can do it, that is the stage where, in old ambassador car, when it would not start, the whole gully would come behind to give dhakka. And then after some time, when the engine starts, then you don't need that. From this stage onwards, when you feel, okay, I can do it, then automatically your enthusiasm will go forward. And then you'll come to the stage of, I will do it. And then when you're determined like this, then Krishna reciprocates and Krishna's help comes forward. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically in his pastimes being a sannyasi, being a Brahman, being a scholar, but still made Ramananda Rai the hero. Of what? Not of governance, although he was governor. But Mahaprabhu does not quote a single verse in the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita glorifying Ramananda Rai's exceptional governance and administrative qualities, although he was doing great in the whole state of Madras province on behalf of the king. But Mahaprabhu mentions Ramananda Rai as the role model who can actually hear, chant and explain the philosophy in a way which practically no one can explain. Right? Therefore, Rajamantri Ramananda Vyavahare Nipun Rajapriti Koili Dravaile Prabhulaman. So his Rajamantri, what is Ramananda Rai? He is professional politician. Vyavahare Nipun, expert in diplomacy. without a person speaking, by seeing the other person's face, he can understand what is going on in his mind and what I should do to negotiate. Raj Preeti Kohe Dravaila Prabhurman. So therefore, Namaskar Koila Raya Prabhu Alingane Dujane Koila Krishna Katha Rahasthane. Mahaprabhu invited Ramananda Rai to sit in a secluded place so that he can discuss Harikatha with him and discuss the pastimes of the Lord with him. Prabhu kahe aage kaha shunite paaye sukhe apurva amritan nadi vahe tomar mukhe. So Mahaprabhu tells Ramananda Rai, when Ramananda Rai speaks Harikatha, Mahaprabhu says that aage kaha, speak more. By hearing your katha from your lips, I have become ecstatic. Apurvamrita nadi vahe, unprecedented river of nectar is flowing from your lips. And therefore, when in Jagannath Puri, Sarabhaum Bhattacharya had said that Ramananda Rai ache Godavari tire adhikari hoyante ho Vidyanagare, that there is a politician by the name of Ramananda Rai, who is governor. My dear Lord, you are going in your South India tour on a holy place of pilgrimage to meet holy people. One of the first holy people you should meet is this politician Ramananda Rai. So Mahaprabhu is thinking, are, if I am going for some contract, it is okay. But I am going for a pilgrimage, and he is saying, go and meet, you know, this politician. Kshudra Vishayi Jane Upeksha Na Koribe. He says, don't think he's Vishayi and don't neglect him because he's a politician. Amara vachane tare avashya milebe. I am guaranteeing you, you'll be enlightened. Definitely meet him. Allow ke ka vakya cheshta tare na bujhiya. Yes, his profession may be that of politician, but his consciousness is transcendental. And therefore, Mahaprabhu wants to highlight Ramananda Rai, that it does not depend on your particular circumstance, situation, profession, but it all depends on your will to be absorbed in any situation. And therefore, he says, alaukika vakya cheshta tarena bujya parihasa karyachin. Actually, all of us were making fun of him before, because Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was before impersonalist. Parihasa karyachan tare Vaishnav boliya. So we used to joke about him that he is a Vaishnav, sentimentalist. But he is actually a very exalted personality. And therefore, this is the first principle here, that Krishna comes to perform pastimes to leave behind unlimited storehouse of nectar, of Krishna Katha, so that we hear about it, and by hearing and speaking about this Katha, transformation happens. And that's what His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada did. That Srila Prabhupada traveled all over the world, established 108 temples. When Prabhupada established 108 temples all over the world, in India, at that time, during Prabhupada's departure, there were only 4 or 5 temples. So India's quota was 4. And Prabhupada saw some devotee, American devotee, reading a book, Learn Hindi. You know, just like you have this RapidX English speaking course. So like that, this American devotee was sitting and reading a book on how to read and understand Hindi language. So Prabhupada was passing by, he saw this devotee reading this book on. Prabhupada said, what are you reading? He says, Prabhupada, this is a book on learning Hindi. Prabhupada said, why you want to learn Hindi? And he said, Prabhupada, I'm in India, so I thought it will be useful to preach to Indians. Prabhupada said, they will never become Krishna conscious. They will not be interested. Forget it, there is no point. You continue with whatever you know. So at that particular point of time, the support which Prabhupada was getting was from so many different parts of the world, and Prabhupada wanted Krishna consciousness to be established in India. And Prabhupada established temples in Vrindavan, in Juhu. Although there were 108 centers all over the world, Prabhupada invested 80% of the money in infrastructure in 3 out of these 4 or 5 temples. In Bombay, in Juhu, and in Mayapur. So Prabhupada had a vision for India, and he told the deities of Rukmini Dwarkadish, they revealed, because at that time Prabhupada was in 1969-70, LA temple, Rukmini Dwarkadish was like the headquarters. So when Prabhupada, after struggling for a long time, decided to go to the West in 1966, he established ISKCON. By 1969, Prabhupada had established in La Cienega Boulevard in Los Angeles, a beautiful temple, and Rukmini Dwarkadish were installed. And Prabhupada started inviting devotees from across America to come and get trained there. So Prabhupada's vision was, my Guru Maharaj's mission for me is to preach Mahaprabhu's message in the English language to the Western world. And so Prabhupada's mission was fully established, and he wanted to continue. But then, some incidents happened because of which Prabhupada's position was minimized. And Prabhupada was bewildered, and he came in front of Rukmini Dwarkadish, and he started crying and started praying that after so much of struggle, I wanted to establish, the mission of my Guru Maharaj here, and things are just taking shape, and people from all over ISKCON are coming here to be trained. But then I see that the circumstances are such that some people are minimizing my position, and I cannot stay here any longer. The circumstances are such that I cannot stay. Although everything was perfect, the deities were there, the devotees, were going to be trained, and Prabhupada had set up the pujari department and everything. So at that time, during the 2003 Juhu Temple 25th anniversary gathering, Brahmanand Prabhu revealed this. Rukmini Dwarkadish spoke to Prabhupada, in this situation, go to India. Otherwise, it was not part of Prabhupada's original plan. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is very dynamic. It was not that Prabhupada went to America in 1965, thinking that after 4 or 5 years, I'll come back. By 1970, I'll be back or something. No. He was just going along. What is coming next? What is coming next? What is coming next? And therefore, the way things unfold in Krishna consciousness is quite different from the way things unfold in a regular material business. And because bhakti is voluntary, is spontaneous, so things which manifest in bhakti many times will also be filled with spontaneity and uncertainty. So it was not part of Prabhupada's original plan. He wanted to continue expanding in America and stay and spend more time there. But then when he got this revelation, he came back, and then 1970 Ram Navami was when the first Western devotees landed. It is there in Giriraj Maharaj's new book. They landed in Mumbai for the first time on Ram Navami in 1970. And then Prabhupada started step by step trying to make efforts. And from 1970 to 1977, Prabhupada spent more time in Mumbai and India than in other places. But still in that 7 years, he could establish only 4 or 5 centers. Whereas in other places, 100 plus centers were established. So if anyone looks at Krishna consciousness movement at that point, they may think, no hope here. The effort versus result is not mapping. So it doesn't make sense to put effort or what. No, but Prabhupada had the plan, and someone asked Prabhupada, what about the mission in the West? Prabhupada said, yes, that is the mission given to me by Guru Maharaj. Then they said, what are you doing in India? Prabhupada said, that is my mission. And I have a desire to give back. And I feel that the culture in this place is very favorable and they will take to it. But still the opposition which he was getting from the government and from the people, various others, it was such that sometimes he would get frustrated. You know? And then sometimes out of great emotion, he would speak like that. So actually, the entire ISKCON, and if you see, Harishwari Prabhu was giving a fascinating series of lectures at the Eco Village. And then he mentioned that from 1955 to 1965, 10 years, how many cantos of Bhagavatam Prabhupada wrote? One canto, three volumes. Right? So, in 10 years, Prabhupada completed one canto. So, by that speed, you know, if Prabhupada had continued, by the time he would have finished 12th canto, he would have been 114 years old. So, one may think, 1955 to 65, one canto. So now he has gone to America. So 65 to 75 or 66 to 76, how many cantos? Another 9 cantos. And full Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Bhagavad Gita. And this and that. So it doesn't make sense logically. Because bhakti is achintya. It is beyond logic. And at one point of time, till then Prabhupada was hand typing personally. And then suddenly Garga Muni Prabhu was going on a road, because Garga Muni Prabhu asked Prabhupada, what is our duty as a disciple? So Prabhupada said, the duty of the guru is to serve Krishna, and the duty of the disciple is to assist the guru in his service to Krishna. So Garga Muni Prabhu started thinking, oh, I must assist. And he was walking on the street. And then he saw on the display of one of the shops a machine. And he got attracted and he entered inside the shop and asked him to showcase the whole machine. It was a dictaphone. And he started thinking, oh, I must assist Prabhupada in his mission. Prabhupada is sitting and typing with his hand. Maybe this will help. So for 1 hour he stood there and understood from that shopkeeper how the machine works. And then immediately took that machine and brought it to Prabhupada. And he opened it in front of Prabhupada in great ecstasy. And Prabhupada looked at this. And Garga Muni Prabhu said, Prabhupada, this is a dictaphone with which you can dictate. And then someone can transcribe. And this way you can speed up the process of writing your books. Prabhupada said, just keep it here. He said, Prabhupada, I have to show you how it works. Prabhupada said, you don't have to. I know how it works. And Prabhupada immediately picked it up and he, you know, hit a few switches and he knew exactly. And Garga Muni Prabhu was bewildered. He said, this machine is not available in India. How come he knows? So it was totally bewildered. He was totally bewildered by this. But as soon as Prabhupada got that dictaphone, he put a whole system in place on how he would speak into the dictaphone, and then it would get transcribed, then it would get edited, it would come to him, and then along with that Prabhupada had a group of artists who would paint, and all of those would get... So the entire history of how those books got published is actually... You know, something which should be a case study in Harvard Business School. And how, you know, a whole group of youth, many of whom were college dropouts, they actually put this whole thing together. And one after another, books were getting published and getting printed. And not just that, along with that, by 1971-72, Prabhupada started a whole series of distributing books through the devotees. So writing, publishing, printing, distribution, and it did not end with distribution. So Prabhupada created a whole system that the BBT, you know, would get, whatever books would get sold, Prabhupada would divide it into two. Half of that money would go into the book fund again, and half of that would go into the temple fund or construction fund. And with that, Prabhupada would give it out as loan to different parts of the world. And each year, Prabhupada would give out as a loan to one continent to establish ISKCON in that particular continent. So when that loan would be given, by then more books would be published, printed, distributed, more money would come in. By then, he would start giving the loan to another continent. By then, this loan would start getting repaid. Because Prabhupada was very tight about when he wanted the loans to be repaid. And then, when this would come, then he would start giving loans to another new places. And, you know, Rameshwar Prabhu in his memories explains how systematically from 1972 to 77, every year the money going out from the book fund for construction was doubling. And that's how ISKCON expanded. And finally the culmination was in 1976. Prabhupada saw that the Juhu temple construction is going very slow. So he, you know, tied up with a construction firm and made sure that practically all the profits come to Juhu every month. A certain amount he had specified must come as a retainer. And that's how the Juhu temple also got built. So practically, in that whole period from 1971 to 77, the foundation behind the entire expansion of ISKCON has been this books of Prabhupada. The Bhagavatam, then the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then the Nectar of Devotion, the Nectar of Instruction. And even Nectar of Instruction, you may wonder, you know, the first verse itself is very heavy. Vacho Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam, Jihva Vegam, you know, Vishaheta Dhira. So who wants to be Dhira? How would you sell this book to anybody? But the devotees had their own way. And when people would ask, what is this book? They said, this is written by a retired prime minister and finance minister. You know, how they manage their time. So, you put all of these books together and the cumulative sales of those books and the profits which were generated from the sale of Srila Prabhupada's books was the foundation for how ISKCON actually spread everywhere. And therefore, as we begin the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam systematically, verse by verse, this whole principle of verse by verse chanting of the Bhagavatam was began by Prabhupada in 1971. When Prabhupada was in Japan, I think. And then he had devotees. There were only 5-10 of them. So Prabhupada had everyone chant the verse. And Prabhupada said, by the time you chant the verse and repeat it, you should have memorized it. So the idea was of this verse chanting, you chant so that you memorize. And then you... And then Prabhupada said, next day the previous verse would be chanted and then the next verse. That of course today we cannot have everybody chant. But Prabhupada focused and he wanted that this hearing and chanting of the Bhagavatam must happen on a regular basis. And therefore, we find that here, Maharaj Parikshit at the very beginning of 10th canto, he expresses very clearly that if we have to develop genuine taste and faith in hearing, one of the most important qualities we need is gratitude and forgiveness. So this Bhagavatam cannot be processed independent of attitude, independent of values. All of these values are the foundation based on which the hearing would actually impact us. And so in Maharaj Parikshit's case, he says, Pita maha me samare amaranjaraihi. First, he expresses gratitude to Krishna that Krishna protected my grandfathers. Devavrata ati atitarai timingalai. From all those who were like timingalas. And durattayam kaurava sainya sagaram krithvataram vatsapadam smadaplavaha. And Krishna actually protected and saved my grandfathers. And after that, I was attacked by Brahmastra. I was already dead. Dravnyastra viplushtam idam mad angam. So Chakravarti Pad says, as Parikshit Maharaj is saying this, he is pointing with his fingers towards his own body. Mad angam. That my body, my useless body had been destroyed. So therefore, second, Krishna cared for me. Right? How? Jugopakukshim gata atha chakro. Krishna could have protected by using any of his energies, but he personally entered my mother's womb. Therefore, Krishna cared for me by entering my womb. And gata atha chakro. Third, Parikshit Maharaj says, Krishna protected me atha chakro with his chakra. Okay, fourth, and santana bijam kuru pandavanam matuschameya sharanam gataya. Fourth, Krishna gave me his sudarshan. So, chakro is sudarshan. But more attractive for me than that chakra and that sudarshan was Krishna's beautiful darshan. Sudarshan. So the Lord who is beautiful was carrying the sudarshan. So he gave me his beautiful darshan. And fifth, viplushtam, Krishna protected my fallen body. And sixth, Krishna protected me, and he says that santana bijam kuru pandavanam. It was not because I was, you know, a great devotee or something. It was not because of my qualifications that Krishna actually entered my mother's womb. It was because Krishna loved my grandfathers, the Pandavas. Api me Bhagavan Pita Krishna Pandusata Priyas Paitrasat Prityartham Yat Gotrasya Atta Bandhava. Krishna loved the Pandavas. Krishna loved the Pandavas' seva. And he remembered the Pandavas. Therefore, he could not forget the future generation of the Pandavas. This is the highest insurance one can have in life. When one connects with Krishna, Krishna can take care not only of your present but also your future. And therefore, in these six ways, Parikshit Maharaj expresses gratitude to Krishna. And the timing of this remembrance with gratitude is very important because he has just been cursed unjustly to die in 7 days and seven nights. And 10th canto beginning means after 3.5 days, 10th canto began. So 3.5 days for his death. And 3.5 days before his death, he has a choice to remember the unjust, unlawful way in which he has been wronged by the curse of Sringi. He can remember that my name has been what? Vishnurata. Tasmat namna Vishnurata iti loke bhavishyati. Nasandeho mahabhaga mahabhagavato mahan. If somebody's name, people become identify with their name. Right? Someone's name is Vishnu Rata, means one who is protected always by Vishnu. One who is supposed to be protected by Vishnu at the peak of youth. He is about to die. So then he can get doubts. that what is this? Krishna did not protect me. So rather than feeling bitter that he is going to die, he is making that choice to remember with gratitude what Krishna has done. So therefore, when we go through such an experience which can potentially make us bitter, but we purposefully decide to maintain our consciousness sweet by remembering Krishna's sweet reciprocations, that creates qualification for absorbing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a very important beginning of the 10th canto, where Parikshit Maharaj is specifically expressing gratitude to Krishna for what he did when he was about to be born. With time we forget things. With time we forget how people, situations, circumstances and society have supported us, have helped us in so many ways. Mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So Krishna gives remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So we should pray that we are able to remember, because we will all be at such crossroads. We will all be at such junctions in our life where we have a choice to feel betrayed and bitter, but we choose to feel grateful. When we choose this, then Krishna provides more remembrance. Krishna provides more inspiration to hear more, and that is called taste. So taste is not just a, you know, automatically flowing substance. Taste is something which has to be purchased moment to moment by the conscious use of our choices. And therefore we ourselves have to take full responsibility of experiencing taste in Krishna consciousness. And we cannot just abandon that responsibility and say that, oh, Krishna is not giving taste. He will, when we follow in the footsteps of great souls like Maharaj Parikshit, when he is making this particular choice. Tabe mahaprabhu tare kripa drishti kori ashvasiya kahe tumi kaha Krishna hari. So Mahaprabhu, when he embraces this, you know, governor, who's Muslim governor who comes from the other side of the river, Mahaprabhu embraces him and says, you chant the name of Krishna. Sei kohe more jodi koila angikar, ek agya deha seva koriye tumar. So this governor immediately says, I will not only chant, but now that I am chanting, I want you to give me service. So Prabhupada says, what are the symptoms of chanting? He says, the symptoms of chanting, that you have got taste in chanting, is, number one, your devotional practices will be consistent. Number two, you will have eagerness to perform service. So your sadhana will become intense. Your seva, bhav, will become ignited. You will ask for seva, you will be eager for seva. And third, go brahmane vaishnava himsa koriya chiyapar, sei paap hoite mura hauka nistar. Third is, with respect to sadachar, one will become free from offensive mentality. And therefore, he says here that there are two types of offenses. Killing a cow is an offense. And insulting a devotee and breaking the heart of a devotee is also an offense. So one has to be free from these. So the three challenges in spiritual life is, with respect to philosophy, we have a tendency to get doubts. With respect to our service, we have a tendency to be inattentive. And with respect to our dealings with other devotees, we have a tendency to be offensive. So we have to be very careful about aparadha towards Vaishnavas, with respect to inattention in service and doubts with respect to the philosophy. And therefore, as far as Mahaprabhu was concerned, he says, these are the ways in which one's absorption is revealed, that one becomes then free from these offenses. What are the offenses? First is internal offense, offense within the mind. Second is unknowing offense, which one may perform without any intention, without knowing. Third type of offense is inadvertent, where the offense happens, but it was not planned. We spoke in a way or did something which the other person feels offended. And fourth is a deliberate offense, which is premeditated. And therefore, we have to really be careful about these offenses. Go Brahmane Vaishnave Himsa Koriyache Apar. Please, my dear Lord, I am so offensive. Say Papa Hoite Mora Hauka Nistar. Only you can free me from such offensive tendencies. So therefore, as we begin this journey on the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, let us meditate on this fact that Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, has spent sleepless night writing these purports so that we can absorb these messages till 1965, when the first canto was published in English. Bhagavatam could only be read word to word with transliteration only in Sanskrit or Bengali. You could not get access to this. It was only available, it was completely locked. If you come to the Govardhan Eco village and you see in the Radha Damodar temple, we have that original Bhagavatam of Krishna Shankara Shastri with 10 Acharya's commentaries. For each verse, 10 commentaries are there. And I've been always very eager to translate that into English. So at one point I found one Sanskrit scholar. He said he has studied 10 years Sanskrit in Varanasi and all. I brought him, engaged him, for a few months. He could not complete the first chapter also of the first canto. So it's not so easy. And Prabhupada was traveling around and writing these purports and commentaries in the English language in such a beautiful manner, spending literally sleepless nights. I remember in, 97 or 98, we began Wednesday lectures on the, first canto Bhagavatam. And, generally when you begin a series, the first day is always full house. And it always attracts, euphoria. And people really feel, wow! Because, typically the brain has a dopamine effect, something new. Something new means you're always very eager. So, it was the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, first verse like this. We just began and I gave commentaries here, there. And one gentleman came up and, I knew him well. He came up and said, Prabhu, it was nectar. I want to do something. I said, okay, whatever you want to do, you can do. I see that you are not distributing prasadam. Why don't you distribute prasadam? I said, well, if someone sponsors, we can. So he'll say, I will sponsor. I said, okay. I will sponsor as long as the first canto goes. In that ecstasy, he said. And our first canto went for 4 years. Because as you start unlocking, and it was not planned that it will go for, but that's how it evolved. There are 19 chapters and once a week only, and we would take certain sections and some sections would go longer. After the third year, he came up to me. He could not stop himself. And he asked very frankly, "Aur kitna chalega?" So Jiva Goswami says that every verse of Bhagavatam it can either be expanded just like a thread, or it can be completely, you know, rolled like a piece of cotton which can be held in your finger. So like that, on this first verse, Saraswati Thakur spoke, I think, almost a month, just on the first verse, from the different perspectives. So therefore, I'm glad that I remember when I joined in way back in 1993, the first canto had just begun, early 1994. And now after 27 years, almost, again, after completion of the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam, we are beginning the second series, right? When the second series ends, audience will be totally different. Speakers will also be totally different. But the way Srila Prabhupada has established ISKCON is, whether you are present or I am present, Radha Gopinath will always be present. They will continue hearing these pastimes, and the katha will flow unlimitedly. Revo. Anyone has any questions? Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Tai Go Primanandi.
Monthly quota maine pura